at the crop.
Welcome to the 85th edition of the Gooner Podcast, recorded on the Monday evening after Arsenal's visit to Tottenham. More of which later. The podcast is sponsored by the website for the very best in unofficial Arsenal t-shirts. It's GoonerShirts.com. Head on over as I have about 10 billion Emmanuel Bouet shirts still to flog. I'm your host, Mark Hoddington, finally allowed this side of the table to crack the whip like an S&M madam. Those panel members are in for a hard time in more ways than one tonight. So let's see who join us. First up, his appearances may be rarer than a traumatic goal, but they are a lovely treat when he is here. At the start of the season, we discovered he was hanging up his boots after writing the Highbury Spy column for over 20 years. He has, though, promised to write the occasional article and continue to give us his unique perspective on Arsenal and all kinds of other unrelated subjects for this here podcast. It's a warm welcome back to the one and only Mr. Steve Ashford.
And a warm welcome to you too, Mark. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Steve, and lovely to have you back here in podcast land.
Thank you very much.
Good. Who's next, you wonder? Well, let me tell you. This is a man who traverses the continent more often than the EasyJet stewardess. In his spare time, he stalks Arsenal players past and present. And although he's no fan of our current home, he can't stay away from here. Oh no. Perhaps we will find out tonight if he has gone back on his vow to stop watching matches in the pub when we get onto Sunday's travesty. He also got the loan of my season ticket for the game against Bolton for a bargain £20. It really is a buyer's market. It's hello once again to Mr. Don Sebastiano.
The players stalk me, Mr. Ollington.
Welcome back though, Don.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here.
You've been away for a long time.
Have I?
Yeah, you have, but you're back, so it's good. And finally...
where we belong.
Indeed, we only had a minute.
We're not back
and then we went
belong.
And did it. But anyway, we get off that. And finally, last time, myself, Steve and the Don were on this panel. His attempts at making us, keeping us under order meant that we had a vow from our main man editor, Kevin, that this should never happen ever again. And it's the reason why I've been here doing the old hosting. But tonight he's on the panel. He's recently been moonlighting for Gunner Talk, but he's back with us tonight. He's the one-man David Essex tribute band. He is Joe Broadfoot.
And here I am sandwiched between there's only two of the unholy trinity. Who's the third one?
It's meant to be me, so I'm hosting.
Oh, that's you.
So yeah.
Okay, I've got it.
Yeah.
I've got it.
To be fair, this is Kevin's intro, but it's very, very good. I like it a lot. It's nice. Anyway, welcome one and all. So as Pink once said, let's get this party started. Actually, I don't think it'll be much of a party tonight because it's been a bit of a negative kind of, well, life really in the last 4 years putting Arsenal, but let me get on with it. First question. Let's start with yesterday's game. Let's start with the hot topic on all of our lips. Let's start with Tottenham. And the question is, what did yesterday's defeat tell us that we don't already know? Joe, let's start with you.
Well, thanks for that. I'm really enjoying the prospect of talking about that defeat, which all of us predicted against Spurs. It wasn't that heavy. There was a lot of Arsenal fans predicting a landslide victory for Spurs. That never materialised, never looked like it was going to happen. Personally, I thought Arsenal could have easily got a draw against Tottenham. And I would have been happy with that because going into that game, looking at the team selection and the fact that Arsene Wenger, for some unknown reason, didn't pick Oxlade-Chamberlain, who wasn't even on the bench, I couldn't understand that. He said he was in the squad. I heard him say it myself. My ears must be deceiving me because there, lo and behold, when I looked at the team, he wasn't in the first 11 and he should have been, I thought, and he certainly should have been on the bench because that guy's a match winner based on what we've seen. But Arsene Wenger, for some unknown reason, left him out completely. So that didn't fill me with confidence going into the game. And then, of course, we let that goal in at the end because we couldn't mark up a substitute, which goes to show we don't have a lot of organisation in the team. If any substitute comes on, we've got no preparation to deal with that substitute. So that guy, whatever his name is, like Sandro or somebody, he's wandering around. He's not an amazing player by any means. But there he is, wandering around completely by himself, and Arsenal didn't make any preparation for this guy. And I find that astounding. So, like all Arsenal fans, I'm not happy at all.
When did Wenger ever make any preparation for a substitution? Time and time and time again, from when he's, even when we had a good team, And how often did he make a substitution? We all went, oh no, that's the wrong substitution. And I can remember days at Highbury when we were one up against teams, hanging on for a win. He'd make the wrong substitution, we can see the goal, and everyone would go, Wenger, your substitutions are terrible. 10 years later, they're still terrible.
But I'll tell you what, he has changed in one aspect. Because before...
Who, Wenger?
Arsene Wenger used to make substitutions at a certain time in every match, and now he's become slightly unpredictable. He makes the substitutions slightly later, so they don't make any impact whatsoever. You know, put Arshavin on, give him, give that little twerk, like 9 minutes, see if he can make impact. And then, I told you he's no good. But, this is what's going on now.
And that's all ridiculous. Like for likes as well. All the substitutions are like for like. It's like Tottenham, they take a creative midfielder off. They see that we've got the midfield, so they then bring on a defensive midfielder, Sandro. We lose our midfield superiority. Wenger takes Walcott off, brings Arshavin on. Takes a striker off, brings another striker on. Nothing changes. Why not just try for once in your life? Just try changing the tactics. You know, if we're 1-1, shore it up, bring on two defensive midfielders. Let's just try something different for once.
Basti, do you agree, disagree?
Well, it is a bit of a problem because Oxlade-Chamberlain is a very good player and is still much too fire in his belly to be playing for Arsenal. When that is gone, I will start playing him a little more.
Great impression once again, Basti, but that defeat at Tottenham.
Okay,
Basti, first
year. I've nicked Steve's joke because it's like, for me.
Did you watch it, Basti, yesterday?
Of course I did. I watched it.
Even though
Tottenham
you did say
house.
You had a ban on watching away matches. Did
yes,
you not
I
say
had
that?
About certainly in pubs where there are neutrals, but I thought, seeing as I've got this. A friend who's a Tottenham fan, the only friend, obviously, in the whole world who is a Tottenham fan. I don't make friends with Tottenham fans. But went round to his house and watched it there, and probably a tactical error, I should say. But the bottom line is, we just don't, it's just getting, I'm losing hope, I'll be honest with you. And the fact that players like Oxlade-Chamberlain and also Ben Ayoun, players who've got a bit of fire in their belly. See, I think people like, okay, Arshavin was on the bench, but even when he came on, he didn't sort of show a lot of promise. Walcott runs up to cul-de-sacs, gets lost, doesn't do anything. But obvious to have a go at Jenkinson, again, thrown into the lion's den. He's not ready for it. In my opinion, I don't know if he's ever going to be, he might be good enough one day, but right now he isn't. He actually looked out of place against Shrewsbury, I thought. He was struggling there a bit. But and then Ramsey had an appalling game. Now, having said all that, we played very well. I thought the first half, we pretty much kind of ruled it. We didn't look like the away team at all. They kind of got a goal on the break, but we are missing something. And when we went 1-0 up, you almost knew straight away, are we going to continue this the way we were going? That's the beginning of the second half. And then when Sanya went off, that was it. That was Jenkinson on for Sanya. And then Sanya had Bale in his pocket, I thought. I thought Bale was not able to really get past Sanya. And as soon as Sanya went off, then it was, Jenkinson was just not going to be able to cope with it.
Well, you mentioned Bakary Sagna there. It looks like he's out for 3 months at the very least. Steve, what are our options at right back now?
Get a buoy back, I reckon. I mean, those 6,000 unsold T-shirts could be sold again. It's a real shame that a buoy is gone. I mean, it's a shame that he's not still around, but Jenkinson is the option, unless Santos has got a right foot and he can switch over. Excuse me. I think Santos or Jenkinson, it has to be.
And do no other option. Either of those players give you faith?
Santos looks okay going forward, like all Wenger signings, but not particularly good at the back. I have to say that I think Mertesacker has taken a bit of unfair criticism since he's been with us. He's had the 4 or 5 games. I don't think he's done anything particularly bad. He might have lost his man a few times, but first time he's played in the Premier League, I think he's got the potential to be really good there. He's always played with either Koscielny at Blackburn, where Koscielny had him there. He's played with Song twice, and Song's not the best centre-half you'll ever see. I feel a bit sorry for him, to be honest. So I think Mertesacker is a good signing, but Oxlade-Chamberlain, it's almost like Wenger doesn't play him because at the moment he's too good. he's ruined Chamac, he's ruined Jovinho, he's ruined Walcott, and he can't play Chamberlain, so he's ruined him as well.
You mentioned some of our players you bought in the summer there. Joe, let's all talk about our summer signings. Last podcast we spoke about when we first got them on the transfer window. How are they getting on? How do you think they're doing? What's the best and the worst out of the players that we bought?
Well, we've been talking, waxing lyrical about Oxlade-Chamberlain. Clearly, at the moment, he looks like the best of the bunch. Even, I'd say Arteta as well. He's looking reasonable, but he's not overly impressing anybody because he's filling the boots of Cesc Fabregas, which is always going to be a difficult act to follow. So other than when he's looking at the other side of the spectrum, obviously Jenkinson hasn't been a rip-roaring success so far, but you know, in time he might prove to be a good signing, and we only paid £1 million for him. So bearing that in mind, he might be value for money at some point. And looking at the other signings, well, Park, based on what I saw, against Shrewsbury, I wouldn't say he's going to really crack it this season. But you know, it's early doors, as they say in football.
And but I think he's got 18 months, isn't he? And he's off doing national service, yeah, so he's got to crack it at
some
point.
Just by the time he settles in, he'll be off. And so that's the unfortunate part.
Excuse my cynical thought. Was Park bought for the shirt sales in Korea?
I don't know how the shirt sales in Korea are going. Better than manual shirts on rocketashirts.com.
They don't sell shirts in North Korea, do they?
I don't think he's from North Korea.
Though. Isn't he? Well, I think we should have got the North Korean version. I think Jovinho is someone who shows quite a lot of promise, and he can get a cross in, and but he's also, you know, there have been chances where he should have put one away against Tottenham yesterday, and there are other chances where he's fluffed his lines a few times. That could just be a bit of early nerves. He's obviously potentially a class act, but I think like a lot of the Arsenal players at the moment, the concentration isn't there and the confidence isn't there. And we go 1-0 up and we lose our concentration. We start passing it to Tottenham players. I mean, you know, passing the ball to Tottenham players. Hello, what are we doing? And Carl Jenkinson, as I said before, I really don't think so. Chamberlain, obviously, you know, bright spark, one for the future. What I like about him and also Yossi Benayoun is that they have a go, heroes in a way. They'll have a go, they'll chase back, they'll fight, they'll work. They've got some fire in their belly. And of course, Wenger isn't picking them for big games, but I think Benayoun's got that kind of responsibility. I want to fight for the club, I want to work. He wants it, you know. We want players who want it. I think Santos, I've heard from my Brazilian girlfriend's sister, who's a football trainer.
Interesting, Basti.
I just thought I'd point that one out.
Nice
that
to hear.
He is average. As Brazilians see him as a kind of average kind of. He's nothing special.
And
by the way, everyone's called Santos in Brazil for some reason. So apparently,
per Mertes- interesting. You're full of facts today.
Full
nice.
Of facts. And I think Mertesacker is 77 caps for Germany. I think he is a class act, but you don't cast pearl amongst swine. And the bottom line is, if you put Mertesacker, if you put him in with Adams, Dixon, and Winterburn, he'd look as good as any of them.
Yeah.
So I think if we get Vermaelen back, and then, well, Sanya back, and we'll get everyone back, basically, we might be all right.
Over to you, Mr. Rashford.
For all the listeners,
yes, go
has
on.
Anyone noticed the resemblance between Mertesacker and Willie Young? Not facially, but the same way of playing, the same height, build, same lack of pace, the same way they put the foot on the
for
ball.
For our older listeners, Steve.
Pass the ball as well as Mertesacker.
He's got the same gait.
So for all you old gits out there, Willie Young per Mertesacker, look at your old programme.
I'm not seeing that at all.
Let's go on to Mertesacker, Steve. If I can cast your mind back to probably 2 years ago on this podcast, we were sat here talking about what signings would you love Wenger to make.
Yeah.
And you gave a staunch defence saying we should buy Mertesacker. Has he lived up to your expectations? We signed the player, Steve, you wanted Wenger to buy, albeit 2 years later, has he made the right choice?
I was over the moon when I read that. I was totally over the moon. Because let's be fair, if we hadn't signed Mertesacker, what state would we be in now? We've got four injured centre-halves, plus Mertesacker, plus Miguel, I think he was injured as well. So we're already playing Song alongside him. If we hadn't signed him, who would be playing instead? I mean, the mind absolutely boggles. Yeah. And people are having a go at Mertesacker and saying, oh, he's not good enough. Well, I'm just grateful we've got him, to be honest.
We'd have to get Nielsen back off loan.
And I think Mertesacker's going to be a really good player. Yeah. I really do. But obviously, being coached by Wenger doesn't help.
No.
If he had been coached by Martin Keown, Steve Bold or Tony Adams, might be a different kettle of fish.
So can I ask you all, out of our eight summer signings, are there any on there you think have the potential to be Arsenal legends?
Yeah.
And who'd you go for, Basti, then? Out of all those players, pick one for me you think in years to come we'll look back and say,
can I have two?
He was an Arsenal great. Yeah, you have two if you want.
I'll have two. I would say Oxlade-Chamberlain and Mertesacker could become very... And if Yossi Benayoun decided to
stay... I said two,
stay,
Basti.
Well, I know, but can I just say the ones...
I've got some restrictions.
I think there are those three that are all right. So far, Arteta's really disappointed, unfortunately. But he might still come, given time.
Any of these Arsenal greats, Joe?
I'm only seeing Oxlade-Chamberlain as a potential great at the moment out of all the new signings. Mertesacker, possibly. He might... I think he's going to be a good signing, and Arteta also be a reasonable signing. The rest, I'm not too sure at this stage.
Lastly, you, Mr. Ashford.
I think Jenkinson's got the potential, but no pace. It's a shame, actually. If he had pace, he'd be all right. I think he reads the game well, he battles well, he supports his other defenders well. I think he's fine. But I'm just a little bit worried about his lack of pace. But I think Oxlade-Chamberlain, whoever he is, I think he's going to be good. And I think Mertesacker will be good. But don't forget, when we go down this year,
well,
Championship, all of the signings are going to look good.
That's very interesting, Steve, because now it's time, yeah. It's time for what I call this issue's hot topic. Now, since the Carling Cup final, we have basically got here are the stats, 19 points from 18 matches, which is unbelievable. And this season, obviously, it's 7 from 7 with 4 defeats. Here is the hot topic. Are Arsenal too good to go down? And let's start with actually you, Basti.
Yeah, I don't think we'll go down. But worse than going down, at least if we went down, then you'd know where. Well, I reckon we'll be about. No, you don't want to go down, obviously. 15th, between 10th and 15th is possible. I would still like to think, in my heart of hearts, we can get our act together and end up in the top five, possibly even top four. Listen, don't forget, this time last season, Tottenham were bottom of the league, almost, right? And they had,
were they?
At the beginning of the season, they had a dreadful
season
start.
Season before, I think.
Was it the season before? Okay, it was.
But they ended up their manager and got Redknapp in.
But this is the horrible thing. We've ended up becoming Tottenham. We are like, we're like fucking Tottenham.
We've become Nottingham Forest, not Tottenham.
Well,
we've become Nottingham Forest, 1992, when they hung on to Brian Clough for two seasons too long. You know, because he won them 2 European Cups and 3 league titles, wherever it was.
Yeah.
Like Brian Clough can do no wrong. You know, we'll stick with him like we're sticking with Wenger now. And before they knew it, they were at the bottom of the table, couldn't get out, and they went down.
So put your money in your mouth, Steve. What, Arsenal, are we too good to actually go down?
We are too good to go down. And if we're in the bottom three or even the bottom six come January, money will be spent to make sure we don't go down.
Yeah.
But this current team, on the current form since February, is not too good to go down. It could go down very, very easily.
Would money be spent if we were 12th?
No.
Do you think?
No, I don't think money would be spent if we're 12th. They'll just still look upon that as a minor blip. Because no, we're 12th, easily 8th or 7th or something. If we're in the bottom 6 come January, big money will be spent.
Joe, surely you're going to offer a bit more optimistic take on that one. What's going to happen? Are we too good to go down? Where are we going to finish, mate?
We're much too good to go down, in my opinion. I really feel as poor as the team is, it's only poor in you know, relative terms. When you look at previous Arsenal teams, of course it's a poor team. But really, if you're looking at the other teams around, I mean, there's only about 5 teams that are definitely better than Arsenal. And maybe 6. That's not good. I admit that's not good. But at the same time, we're not going to go down. We're the team that's,
listen, we
that's
managed
got
to win
the
Cup Winners' Cup with Eddie McGoldrick and Hillier. So
that involved organisation and tactics, which are two things we seem to lack.
The season started in February after the Carling Cup final. We would now be in the bottom 3.
Exactly. And playing devil's advocate, what you could potentially argue is that when you look at the teams that we've played this season, we've only beaten 2 teams in the league, both of which are relegation fodder. You
and
know,
one was with a lucky goal.
Yeah, and one was against 2 goals against 10 men. Are we really? We are struggling, aren't we?
We are very definitely struggling. And it'll be interesting when we play teams like, okay, we've got a draw away to Newcastle, but when we play teams that are in the top half of the table, I'm not talking about Man United, Chelsea and Man City, because I think, to be honest with you, well, they've shown what they can do to us, even Liverpool at home. I mean, we lost 2-0.
Did go down to 10 men, though, Basti, to be fair.
We went down to 10 men the first 3 games of the season, didn't we? We were playing with 10 men.
And that's indiscipline, and that goes back to the coach again.
Yeah. The whole thing is it's nightmare at Arsenalville.
But we all think we're going to avoid the dreaded drop.
Mind you, that's what von Ribbentrop said to fucking.
And I'm sure if the podcast were around in 1992, that's what the Forest fans would have said.
Yeah.
It didn't happen for them.
Well, indeed, but podcasts weren't, Steve, so let's be thankful for that, and let's be thankful today's hot topic is over. Next question. Another key thing, Silent Stan has finally spoken. He gave an interview with The Telegraph, and he said that Arsene Wenger could stay at the club as long as he wanted to. He is there for life. Do you think this was the dreaded vote of like confidence, as they call it, or did he mean it? Does Kroenke really believe Wenger can stay at our club for as long as he sees fit. I think Wenger himself then said, I'll be here for another 15 years. Steve, let's start with you, which is shaking your head there. Obviously, it's an audio, not video podcast. You can't see view. This has can't see you getting very angry.
I can't believe you've only got to look at every Arsenal website, every Arsenal blog, apart from the Gunner blog. Is it Gunner blog? The one where they have the drinks. Yes, please, Mister. I'll have a Guinness and all that rubbish. That's what's that one called, Mike?
Goonaholic.
That's it. Apart from Goonaholic. Every single website is 100% anti-Wenger. Every comment would like to see Wenger out. The only person that wants Wenger to stay, I think, is those few nutters on the North Bank who sang his name after a 3-0 win against Bolton and put the cause back 2 years, and Stan Kroenke, because I genuinely believe that he wants Wenger to stay because he's a moneymaker. He's a moneymaker for the club.
Joe?
I'm not altogether sure I want to see Arsene Wenger leave because As I've mentioned on a few other occasions, I'm not too sure the successor is going to do a better job. You know, we've talked about all these potential successors. Is there any guarantee they're going to come in and get this squad together and get them to play any better than what we're seeing? Okay, they might bring a few tactics along with them and that might help, but there's no guarantee it's going to work. And, you know, Wenger's done a great job over the 15 years he's been with the club, so for me, I'm just waiting till January and see what happens then. And then if he doesn't, you know, bring in some serious talent, because we're lacking talent on the pitch. That's the reason we're losing games more than anything. As much as I believe in tactics, it's not tactics that are losing us games, it's personnel. And the personnel isn't right. And we don't know, none of us really know deep down what the reason is for the lack of funds on the transfer front. We've looked at Arsene Wenger's record that he spends what net per year about £1.1 million on transfers. It's not enough, clearly. We can see that against Spurs.
So you mentioned the profit there. Quick last question to you then, Basti. Does Stan Kroenke get what English football is really all about? Or to him, is it about profit as it is in the US?
He's a Yank. He doesn't know anything about football. I mean, is it, to be honest with you, I mean, no disrespect, I know there are a lot of Yanks who, like, they probably might even listen to this and they're really into football, but they're sort of like people who listen to cult rock bands from the 80s or whatever. The bottom line is, Stan Kroenke is a businessman. We put the cart before the horse. It's just turned into one big... I was at the greengrocers the other day in Hampstead, right? And this woman, who's like obviously connected to the board in some way, said, oh, aren't we doing well? It was like, what are you talking about? Oh, yes, Arsenal are doing very well, aren't they? It's like, no, they're not doing very well. Oh, yes, but our profits are up. And I was like, what are you fucking talking about? Yeah. I mean, Arsenal's turned into a multinational corporation. It's not a football club. And while it is that, it will not win football matches. And the problem is, Kroenke is exactly the wrong way. And I will do a little name drop here because...
Go on.
It's traditional.
Keep it quick.
Bumped into Ian Wright last week outside the Wells Tavern. I think that's a valid fucking name.
Yeah, all right. For you, I'll give you an extra minute, but come on.
Bumped into Ian Wright, and the first thing he said to me, the moment we lost David Dean, we've got to get David Dean back schmoozing and doing all that. That him and Wenger together, Dean off field, Wenger on field, that was a team that worked. When Dean left, Wenger's gone downhill ever since.
He's never coming back though, is he?
No.
This is the problem. I think another thing I'd say, the only reason you could keep Wenger and make him work is if you had someone, whether it be George Graham or Tony Adams or Keown, marshalling the defence and have a sort of defensive manager who deals that, because Wenger does not know how to deal with a defence or buy one or do anything. He just doesn't do defence.
On that positive note, we're going to take a very short break before we carry on in our next podcast. But as always, if you've got anything to comment on this, email us at anything related at goonapodcast@gmail.com. So that's it. Thank you for our sponsors, goonashirts.com. They've got a barrage of brilliant shirts. Go on there now to their lovely brand new range. And it's goodbye from Steve.
Goodbye. And all you commenters, no AKBs, please.
Goodbye from Mr. Don Sebastiano.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from everyone's favourite poodle rocker, Joe Broadfoot.
Chatty bye.
And we'll be back with some more soon. I'm your host, Mark Collington. Thank you very much for listening in.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company.
Hey! By the way.